Helen Young, who now lives on Blake Street, 23 Blake Street in Westboro. Miss Young, could you tell us when you were born?
March 30th,
1898. And where?
On Cross Street in Westboro.
Then you moved to Blake Street?
No, then we moved to Upton when I was 6 months old and lived there for 3 years and then came back and lived where Kirkside now stands. It was a double house there. And part of the time there was no one living in the other side and we used to play there. And there was an old-fashioned garden. It was called the Trowbridge House. It was an old-fashioned garden with box hedges and the concrete walks and the summer house in the center where my first tooth I lost was buried in the summer house.
In the summer house. This was a private garden?
Yes, private it belonged home. With the house.
But a formal? But,
yes. Originally, the Trowbridges had lived there, and then, of course, it was a private garden. But afterwards, the house was rented.
Were there many summer houses in town at that point? Or summer residences?
Not that I remember.
That's the one that stands out. Mm-hmm. When did you move to Blake Street?
In 1906.
And at 23 Blake Street. And your parents' names?
William C. and Harriet L. Cushman Young.
Did they work in Westboro?
My father did. My mother did all she could do to take care of the house.
What did your father do?
He was a dyer, straw hat dyer.
At the straw hat factory?
Mm-hmm.
And he would dye raw straw?
And hats. My grandfather and his brother and his sons and my grandfather and my father and his six brothers were all straw hat dyers. They came from England and had started in the business there, and then came here to live.
It was a craft to learn, I suppose.
Yes, and it's all gone now.
This was the Westboro Hat Factory?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On Milk Street?
No, originally it was down on South Street, where the Hayes Leather goods is now. And I believe at one time, even before that, it might have been down about where the post office is. I'm not quite sure.
On East Main Street?
Yes, there was a lace curtain factory there, and it burned.
Could you tell me anything about dyeing straw? Do you remember at all what the process was or what he did?
No. I remember he and my uncles used to get together, and we said they talked Glover salts. One of them would say, well, now I do use such and such a thing for a certain color, what do you use? And so it was a family trade that they were all in different places, different towns, but they used to get together once in a while and decide.
They had their own formula for dyes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the factory at all? It was on...
Well, the one down on South Street I don't remember too well, but I remember there was one there. Then they moved up to Phillip Street, between Phillips and Grove. And I think I gave the library some pictures of the dye house there.
Was it a separate house?
It was a big building went almost through from Phillips to Grove Street. And the dye house is down on the Grove Street end. They also bleached things.
Now, did women in town work in this hat factory?
Yeah, but many people did.
They worked at home, some of them, beginning to stitch.
No, I don't think so. My grandmother worked at home in England. They used to bring the straw around and they sewed the hats at home.
But in Westboro, they went to the factory.
As far as I know, there may have been a time when they did it at home, but I don't know about that.
Now, did you ever wear a Westboro hat?
Oh, yes. I always had to wear a hat when I was a child because it was the business.
What kind of hats were they?
Oh, my father would bring a hat home, and then we'd take it to the milliner and have it trimmed.
Now, do you know who the milliner was? Was it someone in Westboro?
Yes, Miss Blake.
Miss Blake.
Miss Kitty Blake.
Where was she located?
In, about where Lowe's store is, I guess. Right along there on South Street.
On South Street. And what would she have in her shop?
Oh, she would have hats, too, that you could buy. But she'd have quantities of flowers and feathers and ribbons, and you chose what you wanted. Some of them were quite elaborate.
So you could actually fashion your own hat by choosing the different...
Yes.
ribbons mm-hmm. and flowers, mm-hmm. and Miss Blake would make them up yes. for you. Yes. And you always wore hats?
Oh, yes.
This is to Sunday school or
oh, yes.
to school also?
Yes, I think we used to wear hats to school, too.
Broad-brimmed straw hats?
Yes, some of them.
They also made boys' hats or men's
no.
men's Panama hats
no.
at all? These were women's hats made?
Women's hats entirely. They had Panamas for women, too.
I see.
Panama.
And
there was lots of kinds of braid. There was chip. And I came across a ledger the other day that was my father's. Some of it I didn't understand. But it was Milan braid. That was a very fine braid that was imported. And quite a bit came from Japan. And there used to be papers wrapped around it. And he'd bring them home. We were interested in those, too.
Were they written in Oriental writing?
And they had pictures on them, some quite often.
And you mentioned chip braid?
Yes, that was made of wood. Thin wood of some kind. And hair braid.
Now, where did the hair braid come from? Would that be imported also?
I presume so.
So, the straw that came to Westboro was imported already braided?
Yes.
And they would be sewn together yeah. into hats?
Some of them were what they call bodies. That would be a hat that was all made. That would be more, perhaps, the Panamas. And then they had blocks down here and presses. And they, when they were wet, they'd put them on the block and then put the press down and it would make them stiff and so they'd stay in the shape.
And you could you buy a Westboro hat in Westboro? Were they carried in Westboro?
Well, most of them were shipped out.
It was
but the people who worked there could buy a hat.
Was there a hat store? Or you know, we have
no.
wholesale stores and
no.
factories, but
no,
they were just allowed to once in a while
yeah.
maybe
mm-hmm.
get a hat they sewed, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's interesting. In your early life on Blake Street, we were talking a little bit about some sports or pastimes, and you mentioned swimming. I wondered if you could talk about it.
Because we didn't go swimming.
Because the girls did not go swimming.
And there was no place up here to go. There was a pond over in Parker's Folly.
Which is where?
Right over here.
On West Main?
Off of Blake Street. There's a place that goes over there. There were no houses near it, but there are now. But it was deep, so we weren't allowed to go swimming there. The boys may have once in a while, but there was a spring there. And
now you mentioned the boys.
It was kind of dangerous to go swimming in it because they said they had no bottom. Well, of course it did, but it was very deep.
That's how to scare you away from it.
We used to play over in the Folly.
The Folly, was it a chasm or a...
No. Well, there's a great big wall over there, a stone wall. And originally it was a clock factory. A man by the name of Parker. And he failed.
On Blake Street.
Well, it's just off of Blake Street. That's why it's called Parker's Folly.
He didn't make it.
No. And there were wildflowers over there and beautiful things. They're all gone now.
A nice place to play when you were
young. Yes, there were rocks, and we had names for the different rocks and things.
Now, you mentioned sometimes the boys did go swimming at
Hakamaka. But girls didn't go up there.
Was that a frightening place to you at all? There's this
no.
Indian legend about that.
No.
Were there snakes about it? Supposedly on Boston Hill.
I never went there, so I don't know.
Supposedly on Boston
yes,
Hill.
Yes, on Boston Hill there was supposed to have been.
And therefore there weren't any swimming instructions as we have today.
Oh, no.
What about ice skating?
Yes, the end of Blake Street was flooded. Right to Main Street, those houses that are on Main Street there are on made land. So we could skate right down to Main Street and it was flooded. And never thought of throwing rocks and things on the way the children. The last few years that they did flood it, they ruined it before time to use it.
What were your skates like?
You wore high shoes.
High button shoes?
Laced ones,
laced
generally.
Shoes. And then you put...
And you put the skates on. They had a clamp that went around the sole and a leather part that came around your heel. You strapped it around your ankle.
And they were metal skates.
Yeah.
So you learned to skate anyway,
oh, yes,
because it was right nearby. And,
yes.
And boys and girls both skated.
Oh, yes.
Do they have hockey games, the boys?
Yes, and you had to get out of the way because they wanted to play hockey. And we used to go sliding up
where
Wells Street now is. That's off of the first street on the right, going down this way. Goes up a hill. And they had double runners. Do you know what those are?
Not really.
Well, they're big, long, like two sleds put together with a big, long plank on it. And they could steer them. Some of them they could. And they'd start up the top of the hill and go down across Blake Street, go up the yard next door. Because there weren't automobiles in those days.
You didn't have to worry.
But if you just had a sled, we didn't have flexible flyers or anything like that.
What kind of sleds?
You had just an ordinary wooden sled. And you were allowed to go further over. You could start from John Street and go down. But you had to drag your feet before you came to the brook. Once I didn't drag them hard enough and I went in the brook to come home.
Now, these sleds have runners also, metal runners?
Yes, they had runners, but they were
wooden
sleds. Mine was a blue one with a rose or flower painted on it.
They were more hand-painted or decorated than
yes,
they are today.
Yes.
More works of art. Were they like toboggans, these large ones?
No.
No, they had runners
no,
also.
No, they had runners. It was, as I say, it was like two sleds with this long plank holding them together.
Oh, all right. Across. Mm. There would be two sleds.
No, the sled be one sled here and one here, and the plank went that way.
Between the two?
Yeah.
So you could get two children on.
You could put quite a number of people on one. But they were kind of dangerous.
Did you remember any crashes at all? Or
no.
Kids getting hurt?
No.
Not particularly. That was the fun you had in the wintertime. And in the summer, what other things did you do for amusement?
Well, my father used to take us walking every Sunday afternoon, and he knew all the birds by their flight or their song or to recognize them, knew all where the wildflowers were, and we used to go for those.
Were there special places in Westboro that you went?
Yes.
Do you remember
but they're
where?
They're all gone now. Used to get fringe gentians out where Suasco Pond is now.
Where is Suasco Pond?
Out off of Mill Road. That made, that was all trees and things way back. There was a brook went through there, but there wasn't any pond.
And there were beautiful wildflowers there.
Yes.
And
all around through the woods, and all used to go for mushrooms up on the hill by Emery's.
This was on Chestnut Street?
Yes.
Wild mushrooms?
Wild mushrooms.
And your father knew which ones were all right?
Yes, they were, didn't taste like the cultivated ones, they were much better.
Did a lot of families, or would you meet other people going mushrooming?
No, a lot of people were afraid of them.
But you knew which ones to pick, or were trained early.
I had faith that he knew. And,
and you're here today. So.
And then there was another kind that we used to get that grew around apple trees. They were called morels. They looked like tripe, maybe. A little indentations, and they grew up like trees. They're pointed. Those are the best ones I've ever had.
Where would you find those?
Well, the Bartlett place where the high school is now, in back of that there were some apple trees, and you could find them around the base of the trees.
Do you remember what orchards there were?
What?
Were there many orchards in Westboro at that time?
Oh, yes, quite a lot.
Do you remember any particular ones you could tell us about? Just the names of the people?
Well, of course, the Gilmores have had an orchard for a long time.
On what street is this?
That's up in Adams Street where the Quick's farm is. Quick's store is now.
Mm-hmm. Were there any on West Main Street?
There were farms up there, but I don't remember there were any apple orchards particularly.
On Spring Street, where Arnold's apple orchard is now. I wondered whether this town was mostly farms and dairy, or whether the orchards were a big part of its economy also.
Well, there were both, I think.
And then you had the factories.
I can't remember some things.
You're doing beautifully.
Things change.
They do. I wanted to get back to your growing up and what downtown Westboro was. If you lived on Blake Street, you could walk downtown. Mm. And you would walk down West Main Street.
No.
Up where would you go?
I would go down Heath Street to church and then down Grove Street, either through the cemetery or down Parkman Street to Main Street.
Oh.
It's shorter that way than just go all the way around.
The back roads. Now, do you remember any of the hotels at that time?
Yes, there was one down where the garage place is on the corner of Brigham Street. That was called the Central House.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one where Herman's store was.
On what street is that?
That's Carlson Daniels Insurance, I guess.
West Main Street.
Yes. There was a hotel there and a store underneath that was a meat and grocery store.
Hmm. Now, what do you remember the Whitney House at all? Where was that?
I was skating up on Blake Street here when the fire alarm blew and we went down to the fire. One girl walked all the way down on her skates.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the Whitney House was on
where the high school is now.
All right.
I mean, where the
Forbes School,
Forbes school
which
is
the
now.
Corner of Parkman and West mm-hmm. Main Street. And it was a fairly nice hotel, wasn't it?
Yes.
And when do you remember when it burned? What year at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
But it burned totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a market downstairs and a drugstore. Then there was a little building this side of it where there was a fish market and a bicycle shop. And in back was a livery stable.
Hmm. So that people would drive their horses up and mm-hmm. be able to house them there while they were at the hotel? Or what else would the livery stable... You could rent horses at the livery stable?
Yes.
Do you remember anything about horses and carriages? Did you travel in them?
Not particularly. We had a friend who had a horse and a carriage, and we'd go to ride with them once in a while.
You could walk most places.
Oh, yes, we did.
Do you remember any blacksmith shops?
Yes, there was one next door to the house where I was born.
On Cross Street?
Mm-hmm. Jackson's Blacksmith Shop.
And did you watch him at all? Do you remember?
I wasn't old enough to, because we left there at 6 months.
That's right, you were kind of small. Was he still in business when you came back to Westboro?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then I wondered where you would buy clothing, perhaps, or material to make clothes.
Well, there was a store downtown, Sanford's. I don't know what it was before it was Sanford's, but that I remember. Where Golden now is.
West Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And did most people make their own clothes?
Yes.
You would buy material?
Mm-hmm. My mother used to make my coats.
Coats also.
Mm-hmm.
What about shoes? Where would you get shoes?
Well, there was a Mr. Higgins down on South Street, and we used to get most of his shoes there. And then later, where Mr. Duckworth has his store, there was a shoe store there, Riley's.
Now for marketing goods and meat.
Forbes and Newcombs, in where Carlson Daniels is.
Forbes and Newcombs on mm-hmm. West Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything like what it was like inside Forbes and Newcombs?
One thing I remember that I don't think they do now, they had the ceiling, it was wooden of course, they had all decorated with tissue paper hanging down in patterns, almost solid.
It's pretty. Was mm. that all the time or just on holidays?
Well, I guess it was there.
All the time?
Good part of the time. I can just remember it.
That's great. Was there sawdust on the floor at all, do you remember? Or barrels of goods?
Yes, there were pickles and barrels and things of that kind.
Crackers? Perhaps?
I don't remember that part.
Were the stores places where people would gather and talk, or were they just...
Lots of people went shopping Saturday nights, and that's when you would meet other people and visit.
It must have been after payday or something.
Yes. Because they worked 6 days a week.
They did.
At that time.
All day Saturday also?
No. No, I think they got home at noon on Saturday.
And this was mainly in the factories you're talking about. But the farmers
would
work too.
I worked in the bank. We worked Saturdays.
Not the leisure place we have now. Do you remember any of the candy stores?
Yes, there was Chamberlain's next door to the bank.
On West Main Street?
Yeah. And they had long covered, what do you call them? Well, they were like little boxes all covered with glass, and you could get your penny candy there. You'd go out and look the whole length before you decided what you wanted. And it was penny.
It was real penny candy.
Penny candy, yes. You didn't have to have a nickel. You didn't have nickels there.
You didn't have to pay a nickel for a penny candy. There was a cigar store once in a newspaper.
Well, that's the same one.
That's also the same one, Chamberlain's. Were there drug stores?
Well, there was another candy store, excuse me, down in the corner where the drugstore is now, the corner of Milk and Main, Winchenbach's store. And his daughter, Ruby Stone, is in the nursing home down here. And you could go in and watch them make the taffy, and they made the nicest Christmas candy I've ever had.
Do you know how they made it? Could you tell a little bit about what you saw?
Well, yes, they have it, the taffy, what they made it of. On would be in long pieces, and they'd throw it up on a hook and pull on it, and then they'd throw it up again and pull on it.
What fun. Did they use marble? Sometimes they use marble slabs and roll it on marble slabs sometimes.
But their Christmas candy was as fine, thin, I mean.
This the ribbon candy?
Ribbon. Mm.
Did they make that?
Yeah.
Did you watch them do that ever?
It was very nice, too. Yeah.
I didn't even think of how one would make ribbon candy, but it would be twisting and very carefully rolled.
Mm.
What fun that must be to have a candy shop to watch. Do you remember any of the factories besides the hat factory?
Yes, there was a shoe factory next to it.
On Milk Street, this is.
Yes, Connor Milk and Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Was that just Westboro Shoe Factory, or did it have a different?
Yes, and that burned too. The time of the hat shop, which was.
When was that fire?
Was it? I don't know. I can't remember. I had some pictures of it.
Do you remember the decade?
I would say it probably was in the 30s somewhere.
And this was a fire. Could you tell us about the fire on Milk Street?
Well, the hat shop had given up, was not working then. And somebody had, seems to me it was rope or something. I can't remember now what they were making, but something that caught fire and it burned the whole corner out.
It began in the hat factory?
In what was originally. they were, somebody else who knows and remembers better than I do could tell you more about it. They were working in the back of it, as I remember. And I was working at the bank at the time, and it was such a bad fire that the men went to the fire, and Rachel Ford and I were working together. We rolled all the machinery we could into the safe because it looked as though if the wind had changed that perhaps the whole town would have gone.
My goodness, how much was burned? You mentioned the hat factory and the shoe factory.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Was there an underwear factory?
Well, the underwear factory was originally a shoe factory. It was the underwear at the time it burned, though.
I see. Mm-hmm. And there were some tape factories.
Yes, that was across Milk Street. There's a vacant place there now.
Were they burned by the fire, do you know?
No.
It was just one side of Milk Street.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people were without jobs for a while and made a big dent in the economy, I would think. Now, you mentioned that you worked in the bank. Could you tell us which bank it was?
Well, it was the First National Bank at that time. And then in 1964, we merged with the Guarantee of Worcester.
So it was on West Main Street?
Yes.
Was it right beside the cemetery?
No. No, that was originally the stores there. That's the savings bank. The National Bank was next door to it. They were upstairs in that building at one time. And the post office is where the Guarantee Bank now is.
Could you start at Memorial Cemetery and perhaps go down the street and tell us the stores that you remember perhaps in the 1920s that were there?
Well, let's see. I think the Cloverdale was in where the Savings Bank now is.
No, Cloverdale was what?
And the, that was a grocery store. And then I guess about that time there was a tea room in the side next to the bank.
For
at one time, I believe there was a Chinese laundry there. And then the post office was where the bank now is. And Chamberlain's candy store was next to it. Oh, that was really part of what is now the bank, because mm-hmm. the bank was smaller than it is now. And then Sanford's store was next to that. That was dry goods. And Woodman's hardware store was next. And then this Winchenbach's candy store.
On the corner of Milk Street. Mm-hmm. And can you cross the street and tell us some more?
Yes, Denham's store. That was dress goods and things of that kind.
Were there ready-made dresses or
no.
still material?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then let's see, next to that where Lord's is was Riley's shoe store. And then on the corner, don't remember what was on the corner.
And then crossing Summer Street then. Was there a Greek candy shop? Do you remember anything?
Yes, at the corner there, the one I thought said I couldn't remember. But yes, I guess perhaps that was in that.
Now, tell me about the Greek. Were they Greek people, and that's
yes.
why?
Yeah.
There were quite a few candy shops then, actually.
Yes.
There were three right
people
along
weren't
there.
So weight conscious as they are now, I guess.
They had a good time eating candy. Mm-hmm. And these people came from Greece. Did they speak Greek in their shop, or was it just known as the
Not
Greek?
Not that I know of.
Did they make different kinds of candy than the Chamberlains and the Winchenbachs?
Well, Chamberlains didn't make their candy.
They sold it.
Yes, they just sold it.
And tell me, do you remember a movie theater?
Yes.
Where was that?
On Summer Street.
And
where the block there is now, the apartment houses.
Did you go to the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what first
we used
you...
to have movies in the town hall, too. You paid 10 cents to go to the movies.
Were they showed all week or just on the weekends?
No, I think they're all week. We used to go Saturday nights, so...
Now, these were some of them silent movies way back?
Yes, and they had somebody, they were mostly silent movies. They had somebody that played the piano, and when it was exciting, she'd play fast. And
was that somebody from town that played the piano? Then?
Yes.
It's quite a job.
Mm-hmm.
Did they sell popcorn and things like that?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember. Were there serials of movies?
Yes. For Pauline. The Perils of Pauline.
What happened to Pauline?
Oh, she went through terrible things. They tried her on the railroad track, and the train came, and they got her off in time.
And you'd be kept in suspense till you came back.
And then they'd be, I remember there was one about the Alamo, and there was a little old lady here in town who was at the movies that night. And when they were coming to rescue them, she began to wave and...
Get all excited. So quite a few people did go to the movies.
Oh, yes.
It was a nice form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And
now,
inexpensive.
Inexpensive. 10 cents for adults also, do you think?
Yeah, when we went in the town hall.
Now, were they shown upstairs in the town hall?
Well, the town hall was a different building than it is now.
Where
was
it?
It was a wooden
it?
Building.
It was wooden.
It was in the same place, but it was a wooden building.
It was a wooden building on Westminster.
Another thing they had there, I don't remember whether it was since the 1930s or not, they had a bandstand outside, and they used to have band concerts.
Outside the town hall?
Oh, yeah.
Right in front?
A little to the side, more perhaps where the driveway is along there.
And when would they have band concerts?
Those, I think, were generally Saturday nights.
And were they local bands that would play, local groups?
Yeah.
And the townspeople could come down, and would they sit in chairs?
No, we generally stood around.
Stood and listened to the band concerts.
Yeah.
They were free?
Yeah.
Just for the entertainment of the town.
And then they, for Memorial Day, the Lyman School Band used to come down and play.
They'd play in this bandstand often.
No, they used to play in the street.
In the streets.
Because there were a lot of them. And the boys would all march down for the Memorial Day exercises.
And they had a good band, I was told.
Yes. They had a man by the name of Wilson who was very much interested in it. And he did a lot with their band up there.
I'm just curious about the town hall again. It was a wooden, three-story wooden structure?
Two-story. Mm-hmm.
Two-story. And do you remember what was on the first floor and what was on the second floor, or where the movies were?
Movies were on the second floor.
So you went upstairs and paid your money, and it was set up just as a movie theater upstairs, or were there other offices?
There were the cameras, the movie projectors, were up in the balcony. There was a balcony. And the stage was where it is now. But it was a wooden building, and originally the library was downstairs in the town hall.
It was.
First time I ever took a library book was downstairs.
And did it have one half of the building, or was it
no,
a small?
No, it was just a narrow place, one side of the entrance.
Do you remember the librarians at all, or their names?
There was a Miss Smith, was the only one I can remember.
Was there a children's, special children's
no.
part? Not at all. It was just books for adults. And
mm-hmm.
Did you go there as a child?
Well, I was probably partly grown up when I first went. I don't remember when I first got the card there.
Were there places to sit and read and study at tables, or
so.
Just books on a shelf in a relatively small room?
As far as I can remember, yes.
That's amazing. Do you know when the new library was built?
I remember, but I don't remember the year.
And then that must have been nice to have one, a nice big one to go into.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memories of what the children's, was there a children's room then? Or you probably were older, so you used...
No, I don't remember that there was any, especially for children.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Lake Chauncey. You mentioned that you had gone there for picnics. Could you explain what the lake looked like and what the facilities were for recreation?
Well, there was a pavilion there where you could have dances. And there were boats for rent, as I remember. And there was a launch, I think, that we went out in.
A launch being a large boat going off?
Yes. Well, a motorboat, perhaps. And I know at the picnics, they would have them do it now, probably. They'd have a great big, like, wash tub full of lemonade, and you could go and help yourself to lemonade.
That's nice. Now, these picnics, what kind of picnics were they? Certain organs?
Church picnics.
And you said you went to the Unitarian Church, so there'd be everyone from the church on a certain Sunday would take picnic baskets, would they, provide their own picnics, and go out to Lake Chauncey. And there were grounds and lawns to sit on.
And a long time ago, there was a theater there. They had vaudeville.
Do you remember any of those?
Yes, I remember. We used to enjoy it when we went down.
Do you go into the vaudeville show, and there would be a variety?
Yes. Yeah.
What types of things?
I really don't remember just what, but I remember we enjoyed them.
Comedians and that, however, stopped after a while, the vaudeville theater.
Well, the Chauncey kind of went to pieces after a while.
Did you go dancing at all there?
Not much.
I was told that you could listen to the music without having to go in to dance, so everyone could enjoy the music.
Yes, it was open, the windows open all around.
And there were picnic areas. Were there walks around the pond at all, or paths? Cleared.
I never went on the other side. I presume perhaps you could get around it.
Were there big summer estates? Do people summer in Westboro at all? Do you know? Came out here.
Well, somebody by the name of Fisher had a place down on the lake there. But,
you didn't go swimming there?
No.
Now, was there a reason there was no beach, or... You just, why wouldn't you go swimming?
I don't think that people went swimming in those days is like they do now. In fact, I know they didn't. There were no swimming pools or anything. I learned to swim in the salt water because we used to go to Norfolk, Connecticut every summer.
So even though there were lakes in Westboro, people did not use them for swimming.
Well, we didn't anyway.
What about fishing?
Yes, my father liked to go fishing. He got the reservoir fishing.
Can you tell me about the reservoirs a little bit? Was it always a reservoir? I was told that it was man-made. You know that? It was Sandra Pond, anyway. Mm-hmm. I always wondered who Sandra was. But it has been the place to fish in Westboro for many years. Did you go fishing with him?
No.
The boys seem to have a lot of fun in those days. Leave you home. Miss Young, I'd like you to tell us about growing up in Westboro in your household. Could you tell us about the milkman, for instance? How he would come and what he would deliver?
Well, he'd deliver in the morning. We had a Mr. Mansfield first. And then I think the Fays bought him on.
What was his truck like?
It was a small one, open on both sides and drawn by a horse. And the milk was, as I remember, it was in bottles then, as it is now.
And the horse would know where to stop, would it?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a rag man.
Yes, we had a rag man, a Mr. Ginsburg. And he would go up and down the streets yelling, "Old rags in the bottles." And he said he had had very little education, so he didn't always make the right change. But he always made it in favor of himself.
He was quite intelligent.
A mistake.
So your mother would, or families would bring out rags?
You had a bag that you put the rags in, and weigh them up and give you what he thought they were worth.
He paid you by the pound.
Mm-hmm.
Did he collect other things besides rags?
I think so.
Junk?
But that was what, rags were what we gave him mostly.
You mentioned a horseradish man. Who was he, or what did he do?
Well, he was a funny little old man that used to come around. I don't know where he came from. He was no one here in town. And he had horseradish in buckets. And
how would you buy it then?
You'd have a jar, and he'd put it in the jar. Not very sanitary.
It would last a long time, too. You mentioned gas lamps in your home. And
no.
Not in your home.
No, we never had gas lamps. We had oil.
Oil. This would be kerosene?
Kerosene.
And how were they used? You had to fill them up?
You had to keep them filled and keep them clean. If you didn't keep them clean, they'd smoke, and you had to watch that they weren't turned up too high, or they would smoke on the chimney.
So you'd have to wash the chimneys often?
Mm-hmm.
Once a day, perhaps? Or?
No, I don't think that often.
And then you...
I never had to do it, so I don't know.
So that you had kerosene lamps around.
Mm-hmm.
In Upton, you said you saw a man lighting the lamps once.
That was the gas lights on the street lights.
And how would the lamplighter do this?
He had a long metal thing with a wick or something in the end of it. And he'd go along, open the little door on the lamp and light it.
Old lamplighter. Now, your home, when you were growing up, I wanted to ask you about some of the household duties. For instance, how did your mother wash clothes?
With a washboard and a wringer.
So.
And an old-fashioned... Well, originally she had a wooden tub, and then she had a metal one after that.
Things were picking up.
Until she got her washing machine.
So she would...
But the washing machine, the first one she had, you had to run by hand. It wasn't electricity. It had a handle on it, and you pushed it back and forth like that. And there was a... You put the water in, of course, and the clothes. And then there was a wooden thing went on top of it that had holes in it. And when you pushed it back and forth, the suds would come up through those holes.
So you hand agitated.
Yes.
And then you had to turn the wringer by hand also to press the water on.
Yes.
So it really wasn't, it was some improvement over scrubbing with the washboard, but not much.
No. And the first vacuum cleaner we had was run by hand, too. It was on a board about that long, and it had a tin can with a rubber, the cover was fastened on with this rubber band around it, and you stood up, it had a long handle like a broom handle, you stood on this board and pushed that back and forth, and the can top would kind of pop up and down where this rubber was, so I suppose that made the what suction there was.
That's amazing.
That was a job, too.
And before this, you had to beat rugs, is that right?
Yes.
Bring them. What would you do?
You'd have to roll them up and take them out and beat them.
Put them on a line?
Mm-hmm.
Use a metal rug beater?
Oh, yeah.
That would take a long time.
Yes.
What about ironing once you had washed the clothes?
Used a regular old iron. I think did they call them sad irons?
Could be.
Some of them they did.
Flat iron.
Excuse me, but there were two kinds. There was one that was all iron, then there was another one that the handle fastened on, but we never had one of those.
How were they heated?
On the kitchen stove, the cold stove.
Would you have two going?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. One would
They had to have one heating while the other one's being used.
Would you burn clothes or scorch them that easily?
No, because you watched out.
You had to be very careful so they'd be heated. Then when it grew cool, you put it on the stove.
To heat up again.
And use the other one.
Mm-hmm.
What about curling irons? Did you use curling irons for your hair?
My mother did, but I didn't.
Were they heated on the stove?
No, in a lamp. They could heat them on the stove. But they were made in such a way that you could put them down in the chimney of a lamp and heat them that way.
And these were long metal rollers and with a handle that you could roll your hair around. Tell us about your stove, the ones you remember for cooking and heating.
Well, they were just a black iron stove. And the kitchen stove was a flat top, of course. And you could cook on top or you could bake.
And this was run by coal.
Coal. Mm-hmm.
You had a coal man come then.
Yes.
What was he like? Do you remember him?
Well, Mr. Mason and his family had the coal business, and then there was a Mr. Kimball here that had a coal business. And, of course, they didn't deliver the coal themselves. They had people that...
Was this a horse and wagon also in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. And they'd have to bring it upstairs. We had a coal bin in the back room.
So that was heavy.
Bring a ton of coal up by bagful.
A ton at a time?
I don't know, maybe it was just a half a ton they got upstairs. And then we finally, when we had heat put in, that was a coal heater first. Then we had oil. Now I have gas, and I just heat my own apartment now with gas.
So you've had all types, really?
Yes.
Was the coal man, was he a friend of yours, or was he very... Did he look like he had coal dust all over him?
Yes, he was all black.
And the coal was... Did you ever play the coal bin? I bet you'd be...
No.
You wouldn't get too dirty. You wouldn't be involved in that. You mentioned it. You heated the house with other kinds of stoves.
Yes. There was the coal stove in this room and a wood-burning stove, an airtight stove, they call them, in the dining room. And the room that's now my bedroom was my grandmother's bedroom. She had an airtight stove, wood-burning stove in there.
Who chopped the wood?
I think we bought it all chopped.
Do you know where?
No.
Someone sold wood, as they do now. What about bathtubs? That was interesting.
We didn't have a bathroom here when I first moved up here. We had the wash tub in the kitchen Saturday nights. And
what kind of wash tub was it?
A round.
Made of?
Wood, the first one was.
And how would you heat the water then?
On the stove.
And pour steaming water?
Kettles.
Mm-hmm. And pour steaming water into the tub on the kitchen floor?
Yes.
And quickly take
a bath? If it was a cold night, you'd have the oven door open to heat heat the room more.
Then, could you tell us about the ice box?
Well, that was in the shed, and it was a wooden ice box. And the men used to come around and chop. You had a card you put in the window if you wanted them to stop. And then you tell them how much you needed, 25 pounds or whatever. And they'd chop it off, a great big hunks they had. And if you happened to be out playing and it was hot, you'd go out and get a few of the chips off the wagon to eat.
Now, where did you store this again? Was it on straw to keep it cold? In the ice box.
The
so
ice
how
box was, they had a door where you put the food in, but the top lifted up and the ice was in the top.
Oh, in the top.
Mm-hmm.
How often would the iceman come?
Well, I think he came around once a week, but I don't think we had to have it in that time. And you know, when it melted, you had to keep a pan under the icebox so it couldn't run on the floor.
You had to empty that
finally,
pan.
Finally, we had a